And we're holding on Sadiq Dalid, Amud Aleph, about a quarter of the way down the Amud, the line begins Hazama. We're in the middle of talking about the question of whether, when it comes to a woman remarrying because her husband, when it comes to a woman being told that her husband died, and being allowed to remarry, we said we can accept one aid for that purpose. However, we said if then she does that and she gets married and then her husband turns up alive, then there's a whole series of consequences that are mentioned at the beginning of our parak. Now, we've been talking about the question, what about, is one aid enough to allow a Yuvama to do Yibum or to decide that she doesn't need Yibum because her husband had children when he passed away. So we've been in the middle of discussing, we're in the middle of discussing that point. We started with that they asked Rav Ashi, whether they asked Rav Sheshis, rather, sorry, they asked Rav Sheshis whether one aid is enough, where maybe the reason for when it comes to a Yuvama, first we had in the first Lashon, the problem is maybe she loves the Yuvama so much that she's not going to be careful to check out the situation, unlike the usual rule of Isha Daiko Minsva. We might say in this case not because she loves the Yuvam. And then we said in the second Lashon, on the contrary, the question was, not so much for money, whether she can do Yibum, but not whether one aid is good enough for her to do Yibum, but on the contrary, is one aid enough for her to be to marry out, to decide that she doesn't need Yibum. And there the problem is, again, that maybe she hates the Yavam and she'll do anything to be rid of him, and therefore, again, she's not going to be Daiko Mitzvah. So we're in the middle of discussing that point. So the Gemara says, Amalei Rav Mordechai l'Rav Ashi, V'amri l'Rav Acha l'Rav Ashi, Toshma, let's try to bring a proof for later on in our Masechta, we're going to learn, Ein ha'isha ne'menes lo'mem neis yavami she'en nasei. We don't believe a woman to say that my Yavam passed away, that I should be allowed to get married. In other words, we know that her husband died childless, but then she's coming and telling us, you know, the Yavam died as well, therefore there's nobody to do Yibum with me, and therefore that's it. I'm free to marry whoever I want. So we don't believe her to say that. We also don't believe her to say that my sister died, that then she can enter her house. In other words, that then she's free to marry her sister's husband. So in other words, we do accept Eidos Isha when it comes to her husband dying, and we even accept, as we're going to learn there, that she herself can say about her own husband that he died, and she will accept that. Those kinds of things we're going to accept. When she says that my husband died, we accept it because, again, Daiko Mintzava, she's not going to go and lie where she knows that if her husband's alive, then there's going to be all the consequences and penalties mentioned in our perek. But we're saying, the Mishnah says over there, that we don't believe her to say that her Yavam died or that her sister died. So the Gemara says, he nihi deloy mehemna. So we see, says Rav Mordechai or Rav Acha, that the Mishnah is implying specifically you don't believe her. Ha eid achad mehemna. The implication is that in those cases, one aid would be believed. So there you go. We had one of the cases over there is we're saying that we're talking about whether her Yavam died and now she's free to marry Yavam Lashuk. And with the implication of the Mishnah is that one aid is fine. So that would answer the question. However, the Gemara says that's not a proof. V'litai meich, according to your Svara, Ema Sefer, look at the next part of the Mishnah. Ein ho'ish nema loyma meis ochi sh'ayab mesishtoi, that we don't believe a man when he says, my brother died, and now therefore I want to do Yibum with his wife. V'loy meisa ishti sh'esa asachosa, we also don't believe him to say, my wife died, that he should then be able to marry her sister. Again, you're going to say, who knew deloy meheman ha'edach meheman? So what, are you going to say that in those cases also, the Mishnah is implying that we don't believe him, but we would believe one aid? Why would we believe one aid? The shlema gabe isha, you can understand why by a woman you would allow one aid. Mishumi guna, kila barabana, because otherwise she's going to remain in aguna. She's going to be stuck if we require two aidim to establish that her husband is dead. And meanwhile, she's stuck. She can't marry anyone else. Akiva Barabanan. Therefore, we can say the Chachamim were Mekel, and we apply the idea of Isha Daiko Minseva and everything else that we discussed before. There's also what we said, that there's also the fact that Milsa David Lui, that the Edom are not going to lie about something which can be revealed easily. So therefore, by a woman, we know that one aid is acceptable. When it comes to a man, then when it comes to a man, what are you going to say? There's no igun involved. Because after all, the man can marry the before cherim de ben gershim. He could marry other wives. And after all, the chiyuv of the yibum, and the chiyuv of the yibum is on the brother, of course. But meanwhile, he's free to marry other women as well, as long as they don't impinge on the yibum. We talked about earlier whether in the Masechta we talked about whether mutter or osu levatel mitzvah yibumin, whether he's allowed to do something to be mevatel the mitzvah of yibum. So, for example, fine, he couldn't marry the yibumah's sister, let's say, or her daughter, or whatever, because then that would prevent him from doing yibum. If in fact he's going to do that, but he's free to marry many other women in the world, so there's no reason to that one aid would be acceptable over there. In fact, Tosfos also points out that even when there's not necessarily igun involved with a woman, after all, when you have the case of a woman who says that my sister died and now she wants to marry her sister's husband. So there's no matter of igun, because she could marry others, but fine, after all, she could say, you know, what if I don't find somebody else who's interested in marrying me? But after all, when he says Mesa Isha and he wants to marry her sister, we're not saying that she dafka wants to marry him. After all, the aid is coming to testify on behalf of the husband that he's now able to that her husband is dead. So we see that even when it's not strictly a matter of igun, we do accept one aid. Fine. You're gonna argue that we can accept one aid. Fine. But the point is, it has to at least be that there's some kind of factor involved where otherwise her marriage prospects are going to be greatly reduced. But we don't say that by a man. So obviously the inference that because the Mishnah said the woman is not believed or the man is not believed, therefore the implication is that one aid is believed, isn't correct. Ella ki it's so therefore, so you can't say that you can infer that from that Mishnah. Ella ki itzrich the Rabbi Akiva itzrich. So no. The reason why the Mishnah has to tell us that we don't believe the wife and we don't believe the husband. The point is that we need to be told it according to Rabbi Akiva. Sakh Rad Khamina. Now you would think like this. Hoyova Umra Bakiva Yesh Mamzer Mechaive Lavin. Since as we've learned many times, Rabbi Akiva holds that even Chaive Lavin are going to produce a Mamzer, and a Yuvama Lashuk is an Isur Lav. So Ema Chaishak will call a Dizara Vadaika. So you might think maybe at least we said before that she may hate the Yavam and therefore she'll do anything to be rid of him and therefore she may not be so medayic as she usually would, but you could argue that maybe at least she's going to be concerned about the kilkel of her children, namely that her children, according to Rabbi Akiva, are going to be mamzerim if she's a Yavam or a Shuk. The daika, and therefore she's going to be more particular to not just accept any edim willy nilly. Kamash Malan, therefore we're being told that not. So the Mishnah is not implying that she's not believed, but one aid is. The very point that we don't believe her is talking according to Rabbi Akiva. According to the Chachamim, there's no chiddush in it. Because according to the Chachamim, there's no kilkel on her children, or Tosfos says, we've learned earlier the possibility that maybe the children are mamzerim midrabanan, but nevertheless, maybe she's not so concerned about that. But even according to Rabbi Akiva, that they're mamzerim da'udaisa, nevertheless, we would still say, maybe you would think she's concerned about the kilkel of her children, and that would be reason enough to dissuade her from saying something that's untrue. Kamash Mulan, and in fact, the Mitzvah points out that what would be happening is she'd be saying two things false. She'd be doing two things. Number one, she'd be saying falsely that my Yavam died. Number two, she wouldn't be medayik to check out whether, in fact, he is dead. So you would think maybe she's not going to do that. Kamash Malon, therefore, the Mishnah is telling us, nevertheless, we don't believe her to say that my Yavam is dead. So the next words are in parenthesis because Rashi takes them out. She may be concerned about her own kilkul. She's not concerned about the kilkul of her children. And now Rashi takes that out. What?
Too far off.
No, not too far off. Rashi takes it out because the fact is, Rashi says, according to Rabbi Akiva, it's not just that the children are mekukel if she goes and marries out. The same din, all the kilkulim, all the problems that we talked about at the beginning of the perek, that she loses her ksuba and then she loses mezonos and peres and so on and so forth. All of them apply to according to Rabbi Akiva, also to a yevama l'shuk. So what do you mean she wouldn't be concerned about her children's kilkul, but she'd be concerned about her own? If she was concerned about her own, then she wouldn't be, then she wouldn't be saying something untrue. And then now she goes on to talk about further why it wouldn't be applicable. And after all, Rashi said, because Rashi says later on in the Mishnah, you also, and the same Mishnah also says, we don't believe her to say that my sister is dead, that she can marry her sister's husband. Now, in that case, for sure, there's a kilkul for her children, because if her sister is still alive, then any of her children with a new husband are going to be mamzerim, because the Torah tells us, So Rashi takes out this phrase in parenthesis, Haisha. On the other hand, that Ramban justifies, he says that you could leave it in, because he says there's a difference between when a woman is, when you're talking about a woman is saying that her husband is dead, it's true, like Rashi says that there's the same kilkulim for an Eishes Ish who remarries or Yavama who marries out. But the difference is that with an Eishes Ish who marries out, one of the kilkulim is she loses her original husband. As opposed to by Yavama, there's no original husband for her to lose. She's not married to anybody else. Her first husband is dead. That's the whole reason why she's a Yavama. The fact that she's losing the Yavam, she doesn't care. We said before, she may hate the Yavam and she's definitely glad to be rid of him. That she's losing another husband. Okay, so I'm losing my new husband. Big deal. If I hadn't said anything, I wouldn't have this new husband either.
First time we're analyzing whether it's okay for someone to say that someone else is dead. But when it's a one woman, she needs an eight echad.
Right. So we're saying that for a woman to say that her husband is dead and remarry, that we believe her. But when there's yibum involved and she's saying, then we're saying that even one aid is not enough. So, and we're saying
when
one.
So we don't believe her to say that.
So meaning that we're going to have to wait.
To have one aid.
No, we mean if there's one aid, then it's the usual rules. She can marry based on the one aid. But then if it turns out that the one aid was wrong and in fact the Yavam is alive, then there's serious consequences. Yes.
So we never believe her to say.
So that's the point. The Mishnah says at the end of the 15th Perek of Amasechta that we don't believe her to say Mes Yavami She'enosin. So to say that my husband died and I want to remarry, that we believe her. Because again, Isha Daiko Minsava.
Right,
but to say my Yavam is. So it doesn't matter whether she has one aid. Even if she herself comes and says, my husband is dead, that's enough to believe her because she's not going to be makalkal herself.
Wow.
So now that Ramban is pointing out over here in our Gemara, when we have this part over here in parenthesis, that there's a difference between the kilkul that she's going to be concerned about when she's talking about that my husband is dead, where, therefore, there's not just you have all, if she remarries based on that, and then you have all of the, and then her husband turns up alive, then you have all the consequences at the beginning of our parak. One of those consequences is that she can't stay married to her original husband. So she's losing something that she had. She had a good marriage with her first husband, and now that's over. As opposed to, and of course, there's also she's losing her second marriage. As opposed to that, Ramban distinguishes, when it comes to this case of a Yavam, the original marriage, her husband's dead. There's nothing about that anymore. We're not relying on her to say her husband is dead. We know that. We have aid for that. What we're relying on her to say is her Yavam is dead. Well, that she's losing out on marrying the Yavam. Big deal. She may well hate the Yavam, and she doesn't, she wants to be rid of him. and that she's losing her second husband, okay, she may think to herself, you know what, listen, and would I have, and if I hadn't said anything, would I have had this new husband? I would have been forced to, if I hadn't said anything, I would have been forced to wait for Chalitza or Yibum with my Yavam. I still wouldn't have had this new husband. Therefore, maybe there's less of a kilkul of her own to be worried about. So therefore, the Ramban says we can keep in this word, this wording of the Gemara, that maybe she's still concerned about her own kilkul. And the answer is that no, the kilkul that she'd be concerned about in the case of saying my Yavam is dead is in a way not as severe as the kilkul that she would have by saying my husband is dead, and therefore she's maybe not choshish for it that much. And therefore that would be why the Mishnah later on is saying that you can't, that you can't believe her to say my Yavam is dead. So therefore, but the point is, there's no implication from that Mishnah that one aid would be believed in that case, because the whole chiddush is to say that she herself is not believed. And as we said, since the Mishnah continues with parallel cases saying where the husband is not believed to say that my brother died, I want to do yibum with his wife, to say my wife died and I want to marry her sister, we don't believe him for that. And there we don't believe one aid either, because there's no igun involved. So the Mishnah is clearly not implying anything about one aid. Okay. So the Gemara goes on, Rava Omer. Now, on the other hand, Rava is saying, now all this time we've been discussing Rav Sheshis's opinion, where Rav Sheshis had talked about, according to the two different Lashonis, of whether we accept one aid or not. So now, continues the Gemara, on that, Rava Omer, aid echad neman v'yivama mekava chomer. Rava says that yes, you can believe one aid to tell a Yavama that she's allowed to marry out, that she's allowed to be a Yavama Lashuk. And we can do that based on a kavachomer. Le'isur kores hitarta, le'isur lav le'koshkin. If you're allowing one aid, even for an isur kores, how much? Because after all, you're saying that you can accept one aid to say that her husband is dead and she can remarry, which is an isur kores if it turns out that she's an ashes ish. So how much more so for an isur lav? Because after all, a yavam l'shuk. If it turns out that your yavam is still alive, is only an isur lav. So how much more so we should accept one aid. So Rashi is explaining that that's the kavachomer. On the other hand, Tosfos says that's not necessarily a valid kavachomer. What about, we pointed before, that there's an upshlog for it, because we said that when it comes to the Yavam, maybe she hates him, and therefore she'll do anything to be rid of him. And therefore maybe she's not so medayah. So that's not a valid kavachomer. Rather, Tosfos says the kavachomer is that we're saying that one aid is believed to say that her husband is dead, and the result of that is that she does yibum. Now, you also have, we did discuss in the sugya before, that on the other hand, on the one hand, there's the possibility that she hates the yavam. On the other hand, there's also the possibility that she's in love with him and wants Daspa to get married with him, and therefore is not going to be medayah. And we established before that nevertheless, one aid is enough to say that her husband is dead, and therefore that she should go ahead and do yibum. So we see, therefore, says Tosfos, that's the Kavachon. So if we see that even by an Isur Kor, a potential Isur Koris, because if her husband is alive, then you have two problems. You have number one, she's an Ashes Ish, and number one, she's his brother's wife. So there's a double Koris involved. And nevertheless, we believe the one aid. So how much more so when it comes to Yavam Lashuk, which is only a lab and there's no Koris involved at all? Simple case is a woman says my husband died, then we believe. The truth is actually I shouldn't talk about it in such generic terms. Later on, in the last two parakim of our Masechta, we're going to talk about various details within that. Sometimes you can have, for example, a case where the husband and wife previously had been quarreling, and now she comes and says, my husband is dead. There we say that also, like what we're talking about over here, when emotions are involved, that maybe she's saying he's dead because she wants to be rid of him. She's happy to, okay, so I'll suffer all the consequences, but at least I'll be rid of him. But we're talking in a normal case where their marriage was stable, and she comes and says, my husband is dead, then in many cases we do believe her. We're going to see again, in the last two parakim of Our Masechta, in the last few blocks of Our Masechta, we're going to talk about all kinds of details about this. She has to at least have some reasonable certainty that her husband is dead. It can't just be one of those things where she's hypothesizing that he's dead, but we don't know for sure. We'll get into all those details. But within all of that, within all of that, though, when in many circumstances, we do accept her own statement that her husband is dead. And the reason is, again, Isha Daiko Mintzva.
So that's for zero.
It seems really incredible that we believe her, because there's two, as you said, there's two big issuing here. First of all,
in the regular case, when her husband dies, first of all, there's only one issue. There's Eishes Ish. But again, the reason why we allow it is, first of all, we just said in our Gemara, Mishumi Guna Kivaba Rabbanan, the Chachamim are willing to be Nakel because otherwise she's an Aguna, because otherwise there may not be anybody else who knows that her husband is
dead.
So
that's my point. The fact that she can be an Aguna is more important than the fact that she's an Eishes Ish and she has Mamzeri.
We still wouldn't just be allowing an Eishes Ish willy nilly. Of course not. The fact is, we're relying on the chazaka of Isha Daika Uminsva that she's not going to want to mess things up for herself. In fact, we just said that Utva makes a point that if she herself says my husband is dead and he turns up alive, it turns out she's done two things. Number one, that she lied about something which can easily be exposed, where we said that Milsa Davidele Gloria, people don't lie about such things. And number two, that she's makalkal herself, and now you have all these consequences that we mentioned in the beginning of our parak.
Yeah, but in that case, so you're talking about in the case of the Yibum, you're saying that she might love her future Yibum. And why don't you say the same thing about the case of the Eishes Ish, that she might love her other boyfriend or whatever it is?
Anyway. If her husband turns up alive, then she has to separate from him anyhow. The Gemara is assuming that for her Yavam, being that he's her brother-in-law, she knows him, she's on familiar terms with him, therefore there's a greater chance than average that she especially loves him or that she especially hates him. In the case of a regular
that's
man,
neither here nor there.
Okay, it could be, but nevertheless, you know, the chazaka outweighs that. And again, we have that Ramban's point that we just said, that in the case where it's her own husband, if it turns out that she's lying, that she loses her original husband, whereas in the case of a Yavam, she doesn't. But again, we are going to talk about later on in the Masechta, we are going to talk about in the last two Prakim, we are going to be talking about different cases where we don't believe her. First of all, the various things that I mentioned, for example, if she doesn't have any reasonable certainty that her husband died or if she and her husband were quarreling. But you do also have, for example, cases which we'll talk about there also, where she says something and then it's proven to be untrue, where there now afterwards, if she says, you know what, now this time he really, really is dead, then we're not necessarily going to believe her. So we do factor in all those things. Here we're talking in a general sense. Anyway,
so you're saying that there are more qualifying details than just saying she's a...
And we're going to discuss them in the last two prakim of our Masechta. But right now, let's go on with our Gemara and talk about in the general way, in the basic general rule that we start with is that we do believe a woman to say that her husband is dead, but we don't believe her to say that her Yavam is dead. And we're discussing why that should be so. So now, again, Rava is making a new point that make the Kavah Chomer that if we believe one aid to say her husband is dead so that she can remarry, how much more so we should believe one aid to say that she could marry out, that she doesn't have to worry about Yibum or Chalitza. So again, according to Rashi,
was that the case for concentration camp survivors?
We believe the women. Another matter. There's many, many Shavos HaTrovus about that. Maybe we'll talk about them, Vest Hashem, when we get to the end of our Masechta. But right now, here's not the place for it. Anyway, let's go on. So again, according to Rashi, the Kavachomer is if we allow one aid to allow her to remarry, even though she might conceivably be an Eishes Ish, how much more so are Yibum Lashuk? And according to Tosfos, the Kavachomer is if we believe one aid to say that she can do Yibum, even though potentially you have two Isurei Kores involved, how much more so we should accept it for Yibum Lashuk? So Amalei Hahumin Abonon LeRaba. So one of the Chachamim says to Raba, he acts Motechiach. In that case, you can slug up your Kavach Chaimer by considering her herself. After all, we just said that her own statement that her husband is dead, we do believe under certain circumstances, whereas her statement that her Yavam is dead, we don't believe. So we see that with an Isur Kores, we're believing her, and with an Isur Lav, we don't. So ve'ela e my time alay mehenga. So let's consider why, in fact, does she not believe the kiven de zimnim sanyalay ledaiko mitzvah, because sometimes she may hate him and therefore she's not medayek, and therefore she'll get married anyway, and then she'll get married anyway, and figure if it does turn out that my yavam is alive, then I haven't really lost that much. Ada Hanami, so you could argue, says the Sahum and Abonim, the same thing with one aid. Kivin de Zimni de Sanyalay, like Daiko Minsava, since she hates the Yavam, then maybe she's not going to be Medayek, and therefore she's going to get married. And even though she may not check whether that one aid is in fact telling the truth or not. So in short, this Ahumid Abanan has slugged up Rava's point about Eidach of Nem and Rivama. Nevertheless, the halacha is that we do. And the halacha is that one aid is in fact believed to tell a Yivama that she can marry Lashur.
What is the root of the word Minsa?
Minsa, the Shodesh is
Minsa. We basically follow the probabilities.
Therefore, it means to marry. One second, I have a moment. The shortest of the word mitzvah is nosav, which literally means to take, and therefore means to marry. The same way as in Hebrew, lokach means to take and also to marry. Yeah, what were you asking?
I was saying we basically follow the probabilities. It's much more likely that she's going to be an aguna than she's going to be an eshesish, basically. That's what we're saying.
Sort of. I mean, it's not really so much a matter of probabilities. It's a matter of, well, the probability is that she's not, that daiko mitzvah, that she's going to be careful because she doesn't want to get in trouble. But again, we're going to revisit this point in the last two prakim of our Masechta, and we're going to talk in detail over there about when we do believe her and when we don't believe her, and so forth. Let's go on right now. The Mishnah had said, Zen Medrash Darash of Elazar ben Masyachola. We said, in the last case of our Mishnah, where they told her that her husband was dead, and she was niskadish to another man, they didn't actually go through with the nisuin yet, then her husband comes, then we said she's allowed to return to her husband. And we said that we learned the other day the reason why, because she hasn't actually done an issu yet, so we're not penalizing her, and we're not worried that people are going to think that an ashes ish can be divorced without a get, because people are going to figure there was a tnai involved in the kedushin or something. So now the Mishnah had gone on to say that even if the second husband gives her a get, it has no effect because he's not her husband. And the Mishnah had said that Rav Elazar ben Maaseiah darshin that when the pasuk says the isha grusha me isha. When the pasuk says a woman who's divorced from her husband is not allowed to marry a kohen, the word me'isha is extra, and therefore it means if a man's not her husband, then he doesn't pass over with a get. So here, he's not her husband, so therefore no problem. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, have a little of Elazar l'midrash be'd magunisa. Rav Elazar ben Maaseiah could have darshin a pearl from this pasuk, meaning a much nicer drasha. The Darush Bechaspa, and instead he's darshaning with it something which is like earthenware, like a cheap kind of Darush. Like, yeah, obviously, if a guy who's not her husband gives her a get, then it has no effect. You don't really need a pasuk to tell you that. But my Magunisa, what's the pearl that he could have extracted from this pasuk? So, Tanya, what we learn in a Braisa. When the pasuk says, V'isha grusha me'isha, it means, on the contrary, afilu lo niskarsha ela me'isha. Even if she's only divorced from her husband. Meaning, a get has to have the words in it, hareyach v'teres v'cholot. That's the gufish of get. Now, what happens if the husband tells her, I'm giving you this get, but you're not mutar l'chol adam. You're divorced from me, but you're not mutar l'chol adam. So that's not really, it's not really a get, obviously. It doesn't take effect. But even that, psula l'kohuna, it still passes her to marry a kohen in the future. So if the husband dies after that, then we still consider her a grusha, who's also to marry a kohen. Behind reya haget, post of a kohuna, this is what's called the aroma of a get, which passes her from kohuna, and that we learn from this word, v'isha grusha me'isha. So even though she's only divorced from her husband, that's reason enough to pass over to a kohen. So Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, is telling us that's the real drusha that you learn from this pasuk. What Rabbi Elazar ben Maaseiah is saying in our Mishnah, come on, you don't really need a drusha for that. Mishnah goes on to say, Misha Hocha Ishtir the Medina Sayam. Now, in the previous Mishnayos, we were talking about where the husband went overseas and then one aid or two aidim or whatever come and say that he's dead. Now, the flip side of it, Misha Hocha Ishtir the Medina Sayam, the man's wife went overseas, Bov Omrila Mesa Ishtacha, and then they come and tell him, that your wife died, the nosser sachosa, and he marries his sister because he's allowed to do that. Once his wife is dead, then he's allowed to marry his sister. And then his wife comes. The din is muteres lachzeloi. His wife is mutter to come back to him because the kedushin of the second one are not considered anything. It's just considered like znus. The Gemara is going to bring in this connection. An expression which he actually had. Ashkacha Pratis also in Rashi on this week's pasuk. Aaron, you mentioned that yesterday to me. When the pasuk says v'shachav ish oisa shichvas zera by a soita, so oisa means that only she gets passed from that, but not her sister. So here, where her sister was Mizana, then it doesn't passel her. Now, it's interesting, by the way, if you look in the Rashi on this week's parasha, you add in parenthesis after that, you have Kemaisa b'shtei achoyas shrevas dermasu lazu, which means a whole different case. That parenthetical remark is referring to a different story where Medrash tells a story that there was one woman who had been Mizana. She's nervous about drinking the mei sota. She knows that she's going to explode as a result of it. So she gets her twin sister, who looks exactly like her, to play her part and drink the mei sota. And of course, the sister comes out of it all right. But then when afterwards they meet up again and they kiss, and then she's kissing her in gratitude, then the mei sota, then the effect of it got transferred from her to her. So that parenthetical note seems to be referring to that, but the actual words of Rashi, Shrivasa Isarta and Shrivasa Choysa Isarta, are referring to our Gemara over here. Just because he was Mizana, and it turns out by mistake, with her sister, does not answer her to him. Unlike the parallel case, if a woman is Mizana, then can answer her to her husband.
But the children are still not Zerim. What's
true.
The difference?
That's true, and we're going to talk about that in the Mishnah. That's fine, but nevertheless, it's still he's still allowed to stay married to his actual wife. And the Mishnah continues, Umutr b'kroivas shnia, and he is allowed to marry any relatives of the second one who are not relatives of the first one. Meaning, so you have the two sisters, Rachel and Leah. So we're talking about, so they came and told him Rachel is dead. He married Leah. Now it turns out that, now his wife showed up. So Rachel is alive after all. So he has to separate from Leah, of course. He's allowed to stay married to Rachel. However, he would be in the future allowed to marry, Leah's daughter. He would be allowed to marry Leah's daughter because he was never married to Leah. And now, it's true that he had relations with Leah, but having relations with Leah does not passel her daughter to him, as we're going to learn at the beginning of the next parah. And vice versa, Leah is allowed to marry any of his relatives, because again, it's not considered that they were married, it's just considered that they were Mizana.
How can he be allowed to marry Leah when she's a mamzeret?
No, one second. Leah's daughter.
Leah's daughter is a mamzeret.
If Leah's daughter is from himself, he can't marry her anyway. Come on. We're talking about where Leah has a daughter from a previous marriage. Yeah. The Imnesa.
She has a daughter from who? From her husband.
From a previous marriage. Right. Yeah. Furthermore, the Imnesa Rishona Mutter B'Shnia. And if Rachel dies, then he's allowed, B'Hatchila, to marry Leah, because now Rachel is in fact dead, and therefore his sister isn't also to him anymore. Now, further continues the Mishnah, Omru lo meisa ishtei v'nosa es achosa, if they tell him that his wife died, and so he married his sister, v'achakach omru lo kayem es hoise umesa, and then later on they tell him, actually, at the time that you married Leah, Rachel was still alive, but now Rachel is in fact dead. Well, so we said that, so now comes the question of Mamzerus, as you said, Havlad Rishon Mamzer v'achron ein Mamzer. So any children that were born before that are Mamzerim because he was married to her sister when she was alive, and that's an Issur Karis. But any children born later are not Mamzerim, because once Rachel is dead, then he's not also to marry Leah anymore. Rav Yossi Omer.
Because he thought
that he was married to Leah now. It turns out that he was also to marry Leah because Rachel, his wife, is still alive. And as long as Rachel is alive, he's also to marry Leah. It's an Issur Koris, like any other Arayis. Therefore, an Issur Koris produces Mamzerim.
His father married, they're two sisters. If it had been just a regular lady, it wouldn't be a problem.
No, if it was a regular lady, it wouldn't be a problem. But because it's two sisters, and the Torah tells us you're not allowed to marry two sisters, you're not allowed to marry a sister, you're not allowed to marry a woman if you married a woman, you're not allowed to marry her sister as long as the first one is alive, then it's an Issur Koris, like any other.
So therefore, it causes the children to be mamzerim.
All we're saying is, the difference is that, unlike with the Eishes Ish, where that remains a permanent thing, well, actually, we talked about in the previous Mishnayos, whether it does remain a permanent thing, whether maybe the children afterwards, after we chapter to the husband, is in fact dead, whether they're not mamzerim at all, whether they're mamzerim derabbanon. Here, we don't apply that. We just say that the children are kosher because, at this point, he's allowed to marry his sister. Continues the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi, in the kosher posel idea, chayim posel idea. Rabbi Yossi says anybody who parcels others also parcels based on himself. The kosher ain't posel idea, chayim ain't posel idea. And anybody who does not parcel based on others does not parcel based on himself. What does Rabbi Yossi mean by that? We're going to discuss in the Gemara tomorrow. Best Hashem on Tzadik Hayom and Days. We're going to discuss what Rabbi Yossi means by that. We're going to start by talking out about a case which we're now going to start. So we're going to start in our Gemara by talking about a case where you have involved his wife and also his brother-in-law's wife. We have more complications. So we're going to see. We're going to start our Gemara by mentioning that case, and then on Tzadik Hayom and Days, we're going to say that Rabbi Yossi is in fact addressing such a case. So our Gemara starts off. But now, the implication that our Mishnah is saying that always his wife is mutter to him. So what are we saying? Again, the first case we said in our Mishnah is that his wife went to Medinas Yam. They came and told him that your wife died, and he married her sister, and now his wife showed up. So we said, Mutteres Lachzolo, his wife is allowed to return to him. Now, the implication is it doesn't matter what the sister's status was before that. So that implies, in other words, so now you could have two cases. You could have where the sister was a pnuya, and you could have where the sister herself was an eishes ish, namely that she was married to his brother, let's say. Not to his brother, but she was married to another man who therefore is his brother-in-law. So the Gemara, now in that second case, obviously the eidus would be a double eidus. It would be that his wife died, and also that his brother-in-law died. That his wife's sister's husband died. So the Gemara says, "Va'afagav de ozo ishte v'gisil m'dinas yam." Now the implication seems to be that even we're talking about that not only his wife went overseas, but also his brother-in-law. And now Adim come and tell him, one aide comes and tells him, let's say, your wife died. One aide comes and tells the brother-in-law, tells the sister-in-law that your husband died. So now they figure, now we can marry each other. Now there's no impediment. The woman's not married anymore, and the husband's not married to her sister. And nevertheless, we're saying that if it turns out that it was incorrect, then he's still allowed to stay married to his first wife. So the implication is that Hani Yisurim was still saying that the original marriage remains in effect. And even though the Kamitzira Eishes Gisei Agisei, and even though those Yisurim have the effect of answering the wife of his brother-in-law to his brother-in-law, Atilo Hochi Eishes Gisei Asira, Ishte Sharia. Nevertheless, we're still going to say his brother-in-law's wife is Asir, but his own wife is Mutter. You know what, Yonason, do you mind getting from the shelf over there the spiral-bound booklet over there? By the space over there, there's a spiral-bound booklet. Yeah, that has the diagrams for, thank you, that has the diagrams for your vomis. We're gonna need them. Ramosha, if you still have the Mari Yavamas, then refer to it, and let's look at the relevant diagram. Where are we? Okay, so here we go. Let's see.
Which page is it?
Okay, I'm getting to it. Let's see. It's page, do we have that on the screen? No, we actually, yeah, we do. Okay. No, we actually don't. We only have a diagram for Oseh Shrivasei Sarja. No, okay, so we'll just have to do it by heart. So again, we have, there's two husbands and two wives over here. The two wives are sisters. The two husbands are not otherwise related. So now what we're saying is, so you have two unrelated men, let's call them Avraham and Moshe, and they're married to two sisters, Rachel and Leah. So now what happened is Rachel and Moshe went overseas. So now, then Edom come and tell Avraham, your wife Rachel died, and Edom come and tell Leah, your husband Moshe died. So now Avraham and Leah get married. Now what happens is, when it turns out, when other Edom come and disprove them, and it turns out that both of them are alive, what happens? We say Avraham is still allowed to remain married to Rachel. The fact that he was mezana with her sister Leah doesn't affect his marriage. On the other hand, we're saying that Leah is now going to be also to her husband, as we said at the beginning of the parashah, because she married based on one aid, and therefore we said now her husband turned up alive, and therefore we have all the consequences of the beginning of our parashah. So even though the one sister, Leah, is becoming also to her husband, we're not saying that that affects the first sister, Rachel's marriage to her husband, because our Mishnah didn't make any such distinction. So let's read the Gemara again. Da'ahani hani nisuim, the nisuim are effective with Avraham, the kamitzura eishes gisei agisei, the result of it is that Leah now becomes also to her original husband, Moshe. Nevertheless, as far as Avraham is concerned, even though Eishes Gisai becomes Osir as a result of this, his wife remains mutter to him. And we don't say, we don't say that because his Eishes Gisai, because Leah becomes Osir to Moshe, therefore that should also cause us to say that Rachel should be Osir to him. We say that those are two separate things. They're two separate marriages, and they have two separate rules. So, in that case, if we understand it that way, then would that mean that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Akiva? Because according to Rabbi Akiva, the problem is, what happens? We do say, we learned earlier in the parak, that Leah is going to require a get from Avraham. Because after all, they thought they were married, and we said we don't want people to think that Eishes ish yotze below get. So once he gave her a get, then that she's a chois grushosoi, and Rabbi Akiva would hold that that's still also. The Tanya, as we learn in the Braisa, kol arayas shiva Torah ein sricha semenu get, or any arayas in the Torah don't require a get. In other words, for example, a man is Makadish, one of his relatives who's an erva to him. Then afterwards, when we realize the mistake, they don't need a get, or even if they did Nisuyin, and then, which is already an Issur Karis, they don't require a get, because obviously nobody's going to think that it was a valid marriage. We know that it was Arayas. Chutz me Eishes Ish, and this is how we based in, with the exception of an Eishes Ish, who was married by permission of based in, meaning based on one aid, because as we learned the other day, we had Rabuna telling us that we don't want people to think that Eishes Ish Yotzibul are get. Rabbi Akiva also adds the case of a brother's wife and the case of a wife's sister. Now Tosfos explains when it comes to other kinds of relatives, then it's not that common that a person is going to hear a mistaken report and then end up marrying them. But on the other hand, with these two cases where a death makes them mutter, then they may mistakenly go and get married. And Rabbi Akiva says people may not realize that the marriage was a mistaken one, and therefore a get is required. So it comes out, according to Rabbi Akiva, the kiven da amar Rabbi Akiva boy a get. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva is saying that in our scenario over here, Avraham has to give Leah a get. Now, according to the Chachamim, it wouldn't be necessary because it's true that in the normal case, if Leah was not otherwise related to him, then as we said earlier in the parak, she needs a get from both of them. But in this case, because she's his wife's sister, then the Chachamim would say she doesn't require a get because it's a case of erva. But Rabbi Akiva is disagreeing and saying this is an exception to the usual rules of erva. Now, Rashi mentions an interesting point. Rashi says, we don't know a reason for it. Why? Why should Rabbi Akiva say? Because after all, listen, I mean, even if, you know, the whole reason why we're saying you need a get is because people might think that one divorced her and the other one married her. Well, the fact is, even if her husband divorces her, still, as long as Rachel is alive, Avraham can't marry Leah. And nevertheless, Rabbi Akiva is still saying that she requires a get. So Rashi says, I don't understand the reason why. Tosfos says that Tosfos discusses a reason why, but that because after all, that people are still going to think. So the truth is actually, Rishonim explained that there are two ways of understanding a statement in the Gemara over here when we're saying that, Rabbi Akiva requires a get. Is Rabbi Akiva talking about in all cases, whether the sister was married or not, or is he talking about only when the sister was married? So in other words, in our scenario over here, if Leah hadn't been married, and the only question is whether, is Rachel still alive, and now he's still also to marry Leah, and it's an Issur Karis, or is Rachel dead, and he's allowed to, still we're saying one way of understanding Rabbi Akiva is to say that he'd still have to give a get to Leah regardless. In which case, Rashi is saying, I don't understand why. As opposed to if we say that we're talking about that it's only required if Leah herself is married to Moshe, and then we're saying she has to divorce Moshe because of the znus, because of the penalties that we imposed on her at the beginning of our parent, and she also needs, according to Rabbi Akiva, a get from Avraham, then it's easy to understand why she needs a get, because that's similar to the regular case of an Eishes Ish requiring a get from both. Anyway.
It could be that Rabbi Akiva requires a get because if that sister dies again and the other sister wants to marry a Kohen,
that wouldn't be a reason because we know already she was in an Isser, she was already in a marriage with an Isser Kares, and already she's also to a Kohen anyway because of Znus. So we don't need a get in order to make her also to a Kohen.
But she might hide it.
If she's going to hide it, then she could hide a get as well. Come on. Anyway, let's go on. The Kivin de Omer Rabbi Akiva, boy a get. So since Rabbi Akiva is saying she requires a get, Mimela Itzera Ala. Then automatically Rachel is also to him. Because after all, she's the sister of his grusha. So if we say though that our Mishnah is implying that even in such a case, Rachel remains mutter to Avraham, to her original husband, then that would be apparently not like Rabbi Akiva. On the other hand, the Gemara says no. The lab itman Allah, because don't you know that there was said about that? Omer of Gidol, Omer of Chiba, Yosef, Omer Rav. We have to ask, Kai Eishes Och Heichidomi. When Rabbi Akiva is saying that in the case of Eishes Och, you need to give a get. What is the scenario? Kivan Shekidish Och of Eishes. The case would be where the brother was Makadish the woman, Vaholach from Dinasiyam, and then he went overseas. Veshama Shemes Ochiv. Now, the brother who's here in town hears that his brother, here one aide comes, for example, and says that his brother died, and then he married his wife. So now the reason why she needs a get from him, because the Amri Inshi, it's the opposite of what we said before, that Kiddushin we're not as worried about. Here, on the contrary, the Amri Inshi has come to know how the Levi Kiddushin. People are going to think there was a T'nai in the original brother's Kiddushin. You have two brothers, Reuben and Shimon. Shimon went overseas. Now there's reports that Shimon died. So Reuben marries Shimon's Arusa. Now he requires a get because people may think that Shimon's kiddushin of her was with a tnai. It's not a havalevi kiddushin. Bahai shapir nosiv, and therefore that Reuven married her perfectly legally. So in that case you require a get, but not as the Gemara is going to say in a few lines when it comes to nisuin. And bahai achoisisha nami heifidami. Furthermore, says Rav Gidol, you also have to consider by a chos isha. What's the scenario? Is again, kagunsha kiddush as isha, that he was makadish a woman, b'holchal amdinas yam, she went overseas, v'shama shamei, so he hears from one aide that she died, omad v'nosa as a chos, and then he goes and marries his sister. Where again, the amriyinshi, hach kamaisa, tnai, havalevi kiddushi, people may think that there was a tnai on the original kiddushin, v'hai shap, v'hol shapir nosiv, and then he married her perfectly legally. So therefore, that would be why Rabbi Akiva is requiring gittin in those cases, precisely because people are going to think that it was a fully valid marriage, because they're going to think the original kiddushin was only al tnai. Ela nisuin nikolamim tnai havalei v'nisuin. But when it comes to nisuin, there's no such thing as a tnai by nisuin. Our Mishnah is talking about where his first wife was nisua to him. There's no such thing as a tnai by nisuin. Nobody makes viloset beilasnus. So therefore, everybody knows, obviously. Even we could argue, even according to Rabbi Akiva, everybody's going to know, obviously, that when he was temporarily married to Leah, and now Leah's husband turns up, then people are going to realize it's not that he was, in fact, validly married to Leah. He obviously was validly married to Rachel because there's no Tanai in Nisuin. And it turns out that now everybody discovers that the relationship with Leah was only Znus, and therefore no get is needed even according to Rav Akiva. So our Mishnah could work out even according to Rav Akiva. Tosfos points out, by the way, that there is a machloikas on that point in Ksubas, whether there can be a Tanai with Nisuin. But still, it's not a common thing. Even if you say that there could be a Tanai in Nisuin, it's certainly not a common thing. As opposed to, it's much more common that there would be a Tanai in Kedushin. Okay, so therefore, so our Mishnah could go according to Rav Akiva. But, Amalei Rav Ashi L'Rav Kahana, E Rav Akiva, Lisninami Chamoisei, if our Mishnah goes according to Rav Akiva, then you could say that there's also and by the way the Rambam passed and the Shulchan Aruch Paskin like Rav Akiva in this regard and also as it relates to our Mishnah one reason is notice the Kalim explained because the Gemara is making such effort to stell in the Mishnah like Rav Akiva, so therefore that might be a proof that the halacha is in fact like. Anyway, so Amalei Rav Ashi L'Rav Kahana, E Rav Akiva Lisninami Chamoisei. If you're telling me that our Mishnah is like Rav Akiva, then there's another case that it could have mentioned. It could have also mentioned the case of his mother-in-law. Namely, if people tell him that your wife died and he married her mother, where there also you can talk about now if his wife turns up alive, then what are the din? After all, we find that Rav Akiva says that if a man has a relationship with his mother-in-law after his wife died, then there's no sreifa involved. And at this point, the Gemara is assuming that it means that Rav Akiva would be saying it's actually mutter to marry her. Namely, to Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, the Pasuk says that if a man marries a woman and her mother, the Pasuk is Ba'esh Yisrufu Oisei Ve'esem, that they should burn him and them in fire, meaning that they get sreifa. Obviously not fire, we know they pour hot lead down their throat, etc. Right? So what's the point? Now you have to ask, what is the ve'eshem? That both of them, on the face of it, if he marries, for example, if he marries Miriam, and then he marries her mother Yecheved, let's say, the marriage to Miriam was perfectly legal, so there's no reason Miriam should be chayed nisa. So what does the pasuk mean when it says that we give sreifa to him and to them? So it means Oseves Achas Mehen Diri Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says it means him and one of them, the one that he married second. And Rashi brings from the Gemara that because in the Greek language the word Hen means one. So therefore we douse in the word the S Hen means we burn him, the S Hen and the one. Which one? The one that he married second, which was the one that was also. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva says no, it does mean him and both of them, and the Gemara explains. Now, obviously, again, Rabbi Akiva is not going to say that he married the first one, the Heter, then it's fine. So the Gemara discusses over there, which the Gemara is going to bring over here, two ways of understanding Rabbi Akiva. So, Bishleimala Abaya, Dama Mashmois, Doshan, Ikibinayu. Now, Rabbi Abaya says that there's really no machloikas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. They both agree that Rabbi Shmuel sava chodik siv, Rabbi Akiva sava tarkik siv. Rabbi Shmuel says the word ve'es hen means only one of them. Rabbi Akiva says that it means both of them, but it could mean, for example, a case where he married both of them ve'isr to begin with. For example, let's say you have three generations. So he married Miriam first, let's say, who's perfectly mutter. Then he married her mother Yecheved, and then he married Yecheved's mother as well. So in other words, so Yecheved is his wife, and therefore Yecheved's mother is the mother of his mother-in-law, and therefore both of them are also, and therefore it means Eshen. But in fact, Rabbi Akiva wouldn't disagree with the same din that Rabbi Shmuel is saying, that obviously the one that he married, the Heter, there's no problem. So, yes, Rashi brings this in Chumash. So if you learn it like that, So if you say Mashmos Doshin Ikminayu, the Rabbi Shmuel Sava Chodik Siv, Rabbi Akiva Sava Tarkik Siv Shaper, well then fine. Then Rabbi Akiva is not really arguing on the actual din with Rabbi Shmuel, just on how you learn the pasuk. So then fine. So Rabbi Akiva would agree that even after the wife dies, it's still also to marry her mother. Ela l'Rava, but Rava explains it differently. Rava says there is in fact nachamina between them. Suppose that Miriam dies and then he marries Yecheved. Rabbi Shmuel would still be saying that he's chayiv sefer, because when he says as achas mehen means even if only one of them is living right now, But because the other one was previously married to him, then therefore they're still sefer. Whereas Rabbi Akiva is saying shtehen means only when both of them are alive is there a isur misas based in, but not otherwise. So he says that if he marries Yecheved after Miriam died, then there's no isur sefer. So listening now, Chamoser. So why is an our Mishnah mention Chamoser as well if our Mishnah is according to Rabbi Akiva? Omalei, so Rav Kahana answers Rav Ashi, Nehi demiata krumi sreifa. Fine, you could say according to Rav Akiva, the pasuk is memayet that she doesn't get sreifa. After all, the pasuk is not excluding her from the isur. Even Rav Akiva agrees that there is an isur to marry the mother after, to marry Yecheved after Miriam died. All Rav Akiva is saying there's no sreifa involved. In fact, Tosfos explains there still would be, not only there would be a lav, there would even be koris involved. There just wouldn't be sreva involved, says Rabbi Akiva. In different other places, Rashi and Tosfos and other Rishonim talk about what might be the nature of that isser. So again, Tosfos is saying over here there is an isser koris. On the other hand, there's a different place where Rashi says it's actually only ba'orur, because the pasuk tells us you have in Parshas Kisavoy, by the brachas of Klolis, you have 11 things that they announced over there. Orur, asher yasa pesel masecha, orur who does this, orur who did that. And we know that each one of them, first they said baruch who doesn't do that. Anyway, one of them is orur sheichavim chesanto, orur a man who has relations with his mother-in-law. And Rashi elsewhere explains that that's the Isser that we're talking about over here. So even though his wife is dead, Rabbi Akiva would still agree that there's that Isser from that order. So the Gemara says, so now why in fact is Rachel not Osir when he has relations with her sister Leah? After all, shouldn't we compare it to the case of a woman whose husband went overseas, where we say that she's Osir to both her first husband and her second? By the same token, we know he's Osir to Leah, obviously. Why doesn't that in fact make him Osir to Rachel as well? And the answer is Loy Dummy, it's not the same thing. Because if the wife is mezana b'mezid, then she's also to her husband daraisa. Therefore, b'shogeg goes rabbanon. So even though in this particular case it was a shogeg because she thought her husband is dead, nevertheless the chachamim are going to be gozer and make her also to her husband and also to her new husband and also to her new husband. Achos isha b'mezid v'yachsir midaraisa. On the other hand, When it comes to an achos isha, if he has relations with his wife's sister, where even if he does it b'mezid, there's no isur daraisa on his wife. Therefore, b'shogeg l'gozer v'ramon, and therefore the chachamim had no reason to be gozer on it b'shogeg. U'menolam d'loy asira, and how do we know, in fact, that the wife is not usur by being mezana deliberately with her sister? The Tanya, as we learn in a b'raisa from this week's parasha, that it says oisa, the pasuk is b'shocham ish oisa shichvasera. So that's what Rashi brings over there. Oisa shchivasa isarta, then shchivas achosa isarta. That only her does having relations with her asur, her if she is mezana with somebody else, but not if he has relations with her sister, then it doesn't asur her to him. So we're saying even the maid did not. Therefore, the chachamim have no reason to make any knosim when it's b'shogeg. And we'll continue discussing tomorrow, Beis Hashem, why we need the pasuk to tell us that, and we're going to go on with this discussion about who's usur to who and who's mutter to who. Shkach, everyone.